today's Lent reflection for the 18th of March comes from the book of John 5, 31 to the end. And I'm going to split it into three parts. You see, the Jews were out to get Jesus. We're still 18 months before he was crucified, but already certain religious leaders were plotting to kill him. There'd been grumblings because he'd healed on the Sabbath. And then when Jesus claimed to be God, well, that was blasphemy, punishable by death. We come to our reading and it's like Jesus is on trial and having to defend himself against the religious leaders. So let's see what kind of defence Jesus puts up. So John chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 31, just the first five or so verses to start with. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's, the work that the Father has given me to complete, the very works that I am doing, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. So, Jesus starts his defence. In a courtroom at the time, and indeed today, judges don't just take the word of the accused. To have a credible defence, you need witnesses. And here, Jesus has three star witnesses. Firstly, there was John the Baptist, who testified about Jesus. We remember John in chapter 1 saying that Jesus is God's chosen one, the Messiah. And he went on to say, "See the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Witness number one was John. And the Jews liked John. So he was a credible witness. The second witness was Jesus's miracles, the very works that he was doing. At the beginning of this chapter, we read about the healing of the crippled man at the pool of Bethsaida. And before that, the healing of the official's son, and then of course the turning of water into wine. And there were many, many other miracles and signs to come. At the end of the book of John, it says that there were, if everyone were written down, the world would not be able to contain all the books. Miracles that bear witness to Jesus being the Son of God. And then the greatest witness, which was God himself, a testimony weightier than that of John. And we read about the audible testimony at Jesus' baptism, where God said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, three pretty impressive witnesses. But before the Pharisees and the Sadducees could draw breath, he lays into his accusers, and all of a sudden the tables are turned, and it is them who are in the dock. Let me continue with section 2, John chapter 5, 37 to 44, where Jesus says, "You have never heard God's voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe him whom he has sent. You have searched the scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that testify on my behalf, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you would accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? Jesus is saying that the very fact that they are trying to kill God's Messiah is proof that actually they've never heard his voice or seen him. It also proves that their Bible studies are superstitious grasping for salvation instead of a readiness to do what the scripture actually says. Their compromise with Rome, with Herod, with the common people, with each other, for the sake of human praise, is further proof that they don't love God or his word, but only themselves. If that was not enough, now is the time for the biggest surprise of all. In our third part, Jesus calls on Moses to become the final witness and accuser. Let me read the last few verses of this chapter. But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, then you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe that he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Moses, the lawgiver, the great founder of the Jewish faith and the Jewish nation, the source of their faith and salvation. They believed that if they obeyed the law, then they will be saved. However, they can't even obey the law. Who can? It says in Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed is anyone who doesn't uphold the words of this law by carrying them out. You see, Moses spoke about Jesus when he wrote in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. The Jewish leaders simply failed to believe that Jesus was the prophet that Moses was speaking about. And worse than that, they were trying to kill God's Messiah for his very message. I know the words seem harsh. The Jews were trying to follow the law, but Jesus was deliberately challenging them, as he does today challenge us, because they were stuck in their ways, in their ways of seeing things, so convinced about their own understanding of how things were supposed to be, that they weren't prepared to even consider accepting the truth, even though it was clearly laid out before them. They failed to see the better way. So at this time in Lent, let us ask God to search our hearts for any blocks that we have to see Jesus and accept his amazing grace for us. Because you see, there is plenty of evidence that Jesus is who he says he is. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you have provided for so much evidence that he is your son. We thank you that through him we are saved. Help to rid us of any blocks to our belief in you. Open our hearts and our eyes once again. Help us see Jesus for who he is. And in his name we pray. Amen.